If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. And we're looking at chapter 15, verses 7 through 13. Today I'm preaching on showing God's love, letting it emulate, or emulating God's love, letting it shine through our life, through our witness. And when you get to John 15, 7 through 13, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. But by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, your word is powerful. And we pray that what we have read this morning, that we will apply it to our hearts and lives, that God, you will help us to love everybody. And Lord, your love is great and mighty. And we pray, Father, that your love will change every part of how we act and how we conduct ourselves in this world, that people will see we are Christians. Now, Father, speak through me in this message. Let everything come from you, Lord, and nothing from my own thoughts or flesh. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, that, you know, I could just say just a couple words and say this sermon is done. Because those verses are really pretty self-explanatory. Just to kind of give you a skim of it, God is basically saying that, you know, he is love, and if his love abides inside of us, if his love abides in us, not our own love, but his great and powerful enduring love, if it abides within us, and if we keep his commandments, and if we love others and do what God wants us to do, what does the Bible say that we'll have? The Bible says that we'll have joy. His joy will be complete in us. And I want to say something this morning. I hear a lot of Christians saying, "Boy, Brother Jim, I just wish I was more happy. I wish I was more joyful." And I would say, "Well, is Jesus your Savior and Lord?" "Well, yeah." Then what's the problem?" "Well, I just don't know." "Well, I could probably tell you right off the bat. If you're not walking with the Lord, you're going to be unhappy, aren't you?" Now, yesterday, we had a 14-hour day, and I tell you what, the only thing that kept me going for 14 hours, excuse me, was seeing some of the most wonderful Christian people I know that were walking up to come into the funeral home, and the words that they said, the smile on their face. And I thought, these are the people that I always love to encounter. And my favorite of all was Pastor Donnie Colson from, he lives up around Heron, Illinois. Donnie Colson is a spitfire for God. He lives the Word, if I've ever seen a man live God's Word, and he loves unconditionally. He just recently went through the loss of his wife. And even through all of that and through the health problems that he's recently had, he tells people that it's all about God and not him. And he wants everybody to know Jesus. So I see a love in these people. And you know what that makes me want to do? It makes me want to live more and more for God, to reach out for him and to say, Lord, I want to be just like you. Now, in this flesh, I'll never be perfect, but I can strive to be like God. Now, to know God's love, we've got to know some things about his love. The first thing I want to bring up about God's love is that he has a tough love. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now I want to say something. Let me say this too. The Lord will discipline his children because he loves you and he wants the best for you. How many of you growing up, you knew your parents loved you, and when you did something wrong and you got your backside tanned a little bit, I call it the attention getter, come to the seat of your pants, that you wondered, well, I thought you loved me. How could you? But then a little bit later, you understood why your parents disciplined you. It's because your parents wanted you to live a good life. They want you to grow up to be a good person. So that's why mom and dads, we disciplined our kids, because we wanted to steer them in the right direction. I hear so many people today saying, boy, our kids need discipline today. No, what our kids need is Jesus. And that's what we as Christian people need to be doing. We need to have a little bit of tough love inside of us, and we need to go after these people. There are so many folks who don't go to church, and we have opportunities every day, and we need to say, Lord, open my eyes. Let your love abide in me, that it doesn't matter who I'm around, that I'll say something. We need to have some tough love in our life. And God has to get tough with us, because when we as Christians fail, when we disobey God, God will chasten us, because God wants to open our eyes. And when I say open our eyes, I mean the open up the eyes of our heart. You know, there's a song that says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, because I want to see Jesus. If we open the eyes of our heart and we're seeing what God wants us to see in the Spirit, then we will have a better understanding of how to love different people in different... Now, I'm telling you what, there are some people who that sometimes they make us purse our lips together. They make us bite our bottom lip to where we, you know, we want to say something that's not so nice, but we bite our lip and we don't. But we have to take it to the Lord and say, Father, I'm having a tough time today loving Joe or Sally or whoever, because they're really getting under my skin, just like getting a burr underneath a saddle cause a horse a lot of pain. There's a lot of people who do cause us, and I tell you what, what's tough is being a pastor or preacher or whatever. It's tough because people will come into my life and either they want to take over my life and live it for me and tell me how to do it, or they want to be my best friend and literally make sure I'm walking the straight and narrow, or they want me to come see them and spend, you know, all the time with them, or they always call or what. And it's hard, I'm telling you. And I have to say, Lord, I have to show tough love sometimes, and I have to draw boundaries myself. Really, I do. But I have to ask the Lord to work in these situations and to help me walk in the right way, because I do love people. But also, I've got to be careful, because there are situations out there that if I get into the wrong thing, it could be detrimental to me. So That's why sometimes preachers need to have a little bit of tough love. We should thank God for His discipline because He is omniscient. See, I can never find the words to describe God because He is that great and He is that mighty. He is that loving. When I've had a bad day, I catch myself saying, God, how in the world could you love me today? I've just done awful. You know, I used to do the same with my mom and dad. I'd say, how could you love me after I've done bad? And they would say, because you're our son, we love you. Or get into a disagreement with somebody and you think, well, this friendship's over with. And then you come and make up and you say, well, I sure am sorry. How could you love such a hard head like me? And you know what I've always heard? It's actually not the love that's inside of me. It's the love that comes from the Lord working through me that helps me to love you. See, I can't love people with just a love that would come out of me. It wouldn't be very fruitful. But the love that the Lord has inside of me, it bears much fruit. When I do God's will and live for Him, my life will bear fruit. And that's what God wants for us. And what do people in the orchards have to do? I'm going to pick Laura's brain just a little bit. Like when trees and things are growing, don't you guys have to cut off the dead branches and stuff? Or Sarah does? So, okay. Well, so your branches get cut off then, Sarah, so that more fruit can grow, right? You know, cut off the dead. Am I right? I didn't want to make sure I was saying the right thing. I didn't want to sound like a goofball up here not knowing what I was talking about. But that just from what I've seen in shows and stuff, that's what I'd seen. So in our life, we've got to cut back the dead branches in our life. We've got, what I'm saying is, we got to get rid of the areas of our life that's not producing fruit. And I'm talking about sin. We have to get sin out of our life, and we have to say, Lord, search the areas of my heart, things I haven't maybe realized, and I want you, Lord, to show me what it is that I'm doing wrong so that I can change it. Because see, through God's power and God's love, we can change any area of our life. I mean, years ago, I would never go witness to people. And now I love going to talk to people. Last night we had an elderly gentleman come through the front door of the funeral home. I had never seen him before. He's about probably 80. I think he said he was about 84 years old. And he had the biggest smile on his face. Walked through that front door. He stuck his hand out and said, how are you, sir? And I said, I'm good, sir. How are you? He said, I'm good. And he just come right out. He said, you know what? He said, I'm a bit of a prophecy nut. I said, oh, how so? He said, well, I love to study the scripture and prophecies and things that are going on. He said, you know what? I just don't think we have a whole lot of time left in this world. And I said, buddy, I agree with you. I said, I don't believe we, I don't know, we don't know the day or the hour or the time, but we know the season. And I said, I kind of agree with you. I believe we don't have much time either. We better get busy. And we had a new young girl started at the funeral home last week, an intern. And she was standing across the room. You know what he did? He turned right around to her and he looked at her and pointed his finger. He said, young lady, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you trust Him? Do you know that you would go to heaven? And she's standing there going, But I thought it was really neat because his love was the love from the Lord. It didn't come from him. It came from the Father. And it radiated out of him. And when he left last night, that same radiance followed him on out the door. And again, I thought, those are the kind of people I love. I really do. Now, another thing about God's love is that there is a tender love. Psalm 69:16 says, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Now we know that God is love. We know that God is compassionate. So not only does God have a tough love, a tough side to help us change and to see where we're falling short in our lives, God has a very tender and compassionate side, because you and I are going to go through some pretty deep times in life. Now, if you read through the book of Psalms and you read what David wrote, one minute, David is way up here on the mountaintop. And then in other writings, David is down here just negative in the mouth. And then David's back up here again on the mountaintop. And then David's back down in the valley. And then he's up, and then he's down. David seemed like he's just a, what was them things called, a pogo stick. He'd be up, then he'd be down, up and down. And all through David's writings, he would turn in those dark times and even in the good times, and he always said the same thing. He always talked about the Lord being merciful, that the Lord is good. And he would talk in the Psalms about, as a deer would pant for the water, so my soul pants for you, Lord. So we need, in these times of our life, when we're going through the dark days, we need to turn to God and say, Lord, I know that you're compassionate, and I know that you're loving, and I know you care for me. Others may turn me away, and others may reject me, but you know what? God is so loving and merciful, He will never turn His back on you. Even in the worst of your actions or personality, whatever it may be, God still loves you through it all. And many years ago, I heard something said that really changed my thinking. But a guy said to me, it's actually Janine's uncle, said, the same God that loves you and blesses you is also, and He loves you the one way, He also loves the prostitute, the murderer, the thief, the burglar, whatever, the killer, anything. He said, God loves them the same way that He loves you. Totally changed how I saw people. We had a guy yesterday at the funeral home come in for a funeral. He had real long hair. He had tattoos all up his arms, and he had a hat on. And, you know, generally I would have thought, well, he's a rough-looking guy. I bet he's mean. Just, you know, natural human thing come out of me. And yesterday, I got a chance to talk with him. And then when we took plants and flowers to the family's house, we did it last night about 5, 6 o'clock. We pulled up in the driveway. He was already outside. And you know what he done? He walked up to the van, and he had the biggest smile on his face. He said, what do you guys got? I said, well, we have flowers and plants. And he said, I'll help you. And he went up and he said, Aunt Charlotte, where do you want this? Or where would you want that? And I thought, wow. You know, and I looked at his heart. And that's what I tried to do yesterday. I look at his heart and I try to see the good. So what I want to do is I want to show the same compassion and tenderness that my Father shows me. I want to show it to somebody else. Because you know what? Sometimes you and I are the only Bible that others will read. And what I mean is by what they see in you, because what you read and take in, it'll change your life. It'll turn you completely around. Somebody who I can think of in the Bible that was changed completely around was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a cheat, a tax collector. He stole from people so bad, he charged them more money than what they really owed so he could live a glamorous life, basically. But the moment that he heard Jesus was coming to town, he was, of course, the Bible says he was of short stature. I don't know how tall he was. The Bible doesn't say. I'm going to maybe guess, maybe he was in the 4-foot range or in the low fives. I don't know. But there was such a crowd of people, he couldn't see Jesus. But the curiosity of who Jesus was drew him to climb up into a sycamore tree. And you know how tall sycamores are. The Bible doesn't say how high up he got, but he got up high enough to where he could see Jesus. And you know why he did that? Because There is a tenderness and a love about Jesus that came from the Father, and it was working through Jesus, His Son. And it drew this curiosity up in Zacchaeus that he climbed up in that tree just because he wanted to get a look at him. He didn't know that his life was about to be turned completely around, because Jesus stopped under that tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down out of there." He said, "I want to go to your house today and have fellowship with you." See, Jesus was going to go fellowship with a cheat, a tax collector, a thief. See, Jesus didn't come to go after the righteous, but he came to go after the sinner because of his tender love and mercy. And you and I were in that boat at one time. Well, Zacchaeus' life got turned around. He gave his heart and life over to the Lord and trusted him and believed on him. And he gave back more than what he took to these people. See, that's why God wants us to be loving and compassionate with those that we run up against, because we don't know what people are going through. Now, let's say I had a bad day and I'm just a grouch. And sorry, I had to get a gnat. He'd been flying around bugging me. But I've had a terrible bad day. And boy, I'm just a grouch. I'm just cross. You got this look on my face. Don't mess with me. Just get out of my way. And let's say I see Harold out in public. And Harold's, boy, he's just in a good mood. He said, "Well, hi, Brother Jim. How are you?" "Oh, just don't bother me, Harold. I'm in a bad mood today." Well, what's that going to cultivate? At number one, it's going to hurt him. Or maybe Harold had a bad day. Maybe he had something going on and he was feeling a little down and he saw me and he's thinking, "Well, good, there's Brother Jim. You know, boy, he's always..." He didn't know I was in a bad mood, and if I said something pretty, you know, mean or hateful or acted in a way, and what if it hit his heart in a right way or in a wrong way? And he said, "I don't want to go back to that church because of that situation. That hurt me." See, I don't ever want that to happen. See, what we showed people, we never know who's going through a bad time in their life. And that's why God wants us to be tender with people and loving, to reach out. There's some real negative people, even in the church. Even in the church, there are people who aren't living the right way. And we have got to be loving to them, because when we are loving to them, you know what we're doing? We're making them to be curious. What is it about them that's make them that loving? That's what Donnie Colson has meant to me my whole life. Kind of pastor that I want to be, I want to be like that man. I want to be what God wants me to be. But I see Donnie Colson living for the Lord, and I'm thinking, that's what I want. He's so loving with people and so compassionate. That's why I don't care where people come from. I don't care what country, what race, nation, whatever. To me, the Bible says God created everybody in His likeness. So you know what I want to look at? The heart. Now, if I'm in a good mood, and I saw Harold, he's in a bad mood, I'm going to come up to him and I'm going to give him a lot of love. I'm going to give him a handshake, a smile, whatever it takes. And if he's still in a bad mood, I'll say, "Hey, buddy, I want you to know I love you. And I'm praying for you. And if you need anything, you call me. And we'll pray and talk." Because I understand we all go through bad times. But even in the midst of those bad times, if we show the tenderness and the love of the Lord, what a difference it's going to make. Lastly, trustworthy love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Well, we read in that verse right there that God's love is everlasting. So you know what that means? We can trust Him. God is not a liar. God will never cheat you. God will never let you down. God is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's true. I've been through some dark, dark times in my life. Dark times where I thought, I'm done in the ministry. I'll never preach again. Boy, that situation just tore me up. And you know what? I learned that by leaning on the Lord, I could trust Him with what I was walking through. It didn't feel good, and it hurt, and it stung, and I thought I was going to die a time or two. Time or two, I thought I was just going to rot away and just be nothing, because that's how bad it hurt. But the Lord always said in those moments, if you will put your eyes on me and have faith, I will show you what I'm wanting to do with you through this. And every time God has been faithful to put somebody in my path who's gone through the exact same thing, and He has allowed me to be a witness and a help and a source of love to somebody else. You know, back in my college days, I told Sarah this. I worked as an EMT, and I loved it. Oh, I did. I miss it. To this day, I do. I still miss it. But I remember when we were on 911 rotation, our ambulance company, and we'd be on for 2 weeks. We'd have ambulance rotation, then another service would have it for 2 weeks. But I remember when those tones would go off. Man, the adrenaline rush. And Sarah, I'm sure you feel that when you get a call. Man, that adrenaline rush would hit. And I knew that where I was going, somebody was dependent on me. Somebody was going through a crisis. They were depending on those EMTs to take care of either them or their loved one or a friend, whoever it might be. And when we arrived on scene, I'm telling you what, there was so much compassion. I had so much emotions right here. There have been so many times that I shed tears with people I didn't even know. I shared laughter with ones I didn't know. But all through that, I wanted these people to know they could trust me through the entire time that they were with me. And when I left that hospital, when we dropped them off at the ER, and I left the hospital, I would say to them, I'm praying for you, and I love you. They didn't know me from Adam, really, just that. But I wanted them to know they could trust me. And what that is that's the love of the Lord working in my life. Am I perfect? No way. Am I working at being better? Yes, I am. I'm working at being better every day. But the most trustworthy love is the Lord's love. It's the love that sent His own Son to the cross to die for you and I. See, Jesus came with a purpose and a mission. And all He wants us to do is trust Him. He wants us to give Him our entire life. You know, He died for us so that we'd have life and have life abundantly. And as we read in Scripture this morning, I encourage you to cut the Scripture out of here today and paste that on your refrigerator. And when you don't feel like you're having a good day or not so happy, I want you to go back and read those Scriptures and say, am I walking in the Lord's commandments? Am I fully trusting Him? Am I doing what He wants me to do? If not, all you have to do is say, Lord, I've sinned and I repent. I ask You to forgive me, and here's my heart and my life. Take me and use me. That's all I'm asking, Lord. Take me and use me. Help me to help somebody else. Because how good does it feel when you've witnessed and ministered to somebody else? I can't wait for, is it October, the next yard sale? Well, I'm going to be here on a, I done told them at the funeral home, I'm taking the day off. I am. I have. I've already done it. That Saturday is out of the question. I will not be available on call, nothing. But I will be here for the yard sale because I want for myself to see the people that come up, and I want to be able to witness and minister and encourage somebody that comes up and maybe lead somebody to the Lord. You know, people come to a yard sale looking for something great. Wouldn't it be wonderful they come to a churchyard sale and find something better? They find Jesus. That's what it's all about. So, in your life, show God's love, even if you don't think they deserve it. Because we don't look at people how we should see them. We ought to look at them how God sees them. Open our eyes, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus, and I want people to see Jesus in me.